I'm Paul Bates with GreatDad.com, again with our weekly discussion with modern dads and how fatherhood is evolving all the time. And I'm excited to talk to Corey Rankin today from DadsUnleashed.com and Data Ascender, and to talk about him with him about his experience. We share a very similar mission of trying to get dads to be more present, more intentional, more spend more time with their family. So welcome, Corey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Paul.
So you've been working with dad entrepreneurs, and that's specifically the group that you work with, and their challenges with the crazy world of being an entrepreneur and being present at home, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so just a little bit about that. For the last 4 years, my wife and I have been working with married entrepreneurs. We've been married for 15 years, and we've been foster parents for 10 years, and we've had people coming to us all the time for parenting, for marriage, for this and that. And so our journey started as an entrepreneur with serving married entrepreneur couples. And then as life progressed and my kids needed more attention and the things in our home changed a little bit, my wife's a therapist and she sees clients, overwhelmed moms and children with autism a few times a week. And so just at the beginning of this year, I changed my focus from married entrepreneurs to dads. I've always been serving dads, but now it's focused. I kind of flipped roles, focus on showing up as a dad first. And as you improve yourself and as a dad, you're going to elevate yourself as a husband too. So yeah. I kind of flip flop, but my focus is dads because I have 5 kids myself and I've been a foster parent of 30 children.
Yeah.
So of the last 10 years,
yeah,
it's just been a wild journey. I've had so many different personalities and I've learned to love at a level deeper than most. And I've also had periods of time where either in grad school when I wasn't present like I should be because I was so dialed in on my studies or early in my business, I didn't know what was going on. So I was taking calls and every moment of every chance I could get. And I was like, wait a sec, I need more structure. I need to show up for my family first and then my business. Because what good is a thriving business if I do it at the expense of my family? So I had 2 significant periods in my life where I was not the dad that I knew I was, or I was not the dad that my children desired to have. And that has absolutely flip-flopped. Now I'm 100% all about my kids. Everything else comes second. So my priority list is God, my family, business, everything else after that.
Yes, it sounds just like you're uniquely qualified to talk about this work-life balance. I mean, 30 foster kids. My heart just goes out to you. That is an amazing story. And I want to talk a little bit more about that process, maybe a little bit at the end, because it's so important to promote that service if people are able to do it. But then 5 kids of your own, you know how hard it is with that number of kids. You know how important it is to have a structure that will work so that you can bring home the bacon and play a role financially to support your family at the same time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you do at dadsunleashed.com, to put a little bit more meat on the bones, you do have a challenge that you do periodically, monthly with fathers that kind of has this, it's really focused on entrepreneurs. So we're not talking about just, I mean, I talk to a lot of dads who are trying to create this work-life balance, but you're really focused on entrepreneurs who maybe have a little bit more flexibility, but they also have a lot more pressure and a lot more, you know, time, the focus time that they have to spend. Tell me a little bit about how entrepreneurs differ from maybe the guy who's working 9 to 5 or, you know, 8 to 7 or whatever.
So if you think about a regular job, there's some flexibility, but for the most part, you know, when you're coming and going, there's some salary positions that are different, but for the most part, especially healthcare professional or something like that, you know, when you're coming or going, you check in at a certain time. You work your shift, you check out, unless you're in a service or something that needs you more and you stay longer than you intended. There's not a lot of flexibility there. You can control your days off. You can manipulate your lunch break here and there, but it is kind of what it is. You go to work, you do your thing, you come home, you get called in for overtime, you get paid less than you were, you're working more. Like that type of thing is what you see in a job. A lot of times men in a job, they feel pressure to provide for their family. They may or may not enjoy the job, but oftentimes it's a source of income and that's where they stay. And so sometimes there's growth and progression. Other times it's settling for what they have. And with the entrepreneur, there's some growth. But there's a lot more control of the schedule. As an entrepreneur, you should enjoy your job because you created the business. You decided who you're going to serve, what problems you can solve, how you're going to solve them, and that kind of thing. And so as an entrepreneur, there's a lot of choice. There's a lot of flexibility. You're the one that decides when you get up. You're the one that decides when you start. You're the one, or a team member that you've assigned is the one that schedules the meeting schedule, the client interaction, and that can all be done whenever makes sense for the entrepreneur, whenever serves the clients at the highest capacity. So there's a difference between you have to control your schedule and your schedule's mapped out for you. And I'm not dissing on one or the other, but there's space for both. But as an entrepreneur, if you're not careful, you get stuck in the grind very quickly. Because if you were to survey 100, 1,000, 10,000 entrepreneurs, this is my stats that I'm making up here, but 90%, 95%, 99% of them would say, I started my business for one of two reasons. Either so I can have financial freedom and time freedom to provide for my family, or there was a hole or a void or a problem that people were not being served at a capacity that I could serve them. A lot of healthcare professionals will start their own practice because they want to treat clients the way that they want to be treated and not be dictated by insurance. A lot of service providers, they didn't like the restrictions they had as an employee, so they do it their way and better. And so with that, there's a lot of, that's the answer that most entrepreneurs will give you, that I started my business for my family, or there was a need, not or, but and there was a need, a problem that I could solve at a high level that would have an impact. And with that being the way, there's a lot of grind, especially early as an entrepreneur. There's kind of phases as an entrepreneur. There's a lot of grinding as an early entrepreneur. There's a lot of grinding when you start to develop your team. There's more grinding when you're scaling. And whatever period you are as an entrepreneur, you're in a dangerous trap that your business can become the first priority and your family becomes second place on accident. Or you give all out to the business and your family gets the leftovers. A lot of times the leftovers look like you've been on calls, or now we're sitting together at a family dinner and I take a call being the dad and dinner goes on without me and I don't come back and my food is cold. My kid's like, where'd dad go? Or I'm home watching movie night with the kids and I'm answering messages or those kind of things. Like, you may be available, like physically in the home, but you're not present. You're not showing up the way that your kids are. And so when you're stuck in the entrepreneur grind, you don't know your kids' friends. You don't know their challenges at school. You don't know. You're not helping with homework or bedtime routine, drop off or pick up. And those are the things that really make a difference in the kids' life. If you look at the juvenile detention system now, many of those children that are struggling with those challenges are often in a single parent home, or they don't have structure. They don't have the love and support from their parents, specifically fathers. Of the 30 children that we fostered, 5 of those we adopted, and only 2 of those 30 had a father present. Wow. And so for entrepreneur households, there are a lot of men that are in the home that are either single dads or married, but they still aren't present because they're not connecting. They're not being intentional. They're kind of just letting things take over. So one of the biggest challenges that I've seen entrepreneurs make is they're very loyal to their calendar. And what's on the calendar gets accomplished. But most of the time, the family never makes it on the calendar. Doctor's appointments are on the wife's calendar. The practices are on the wife's calendar. You might be aware of the games and rush from work to the game, but if it's not blocked out, my meeting extended long. And now my kids in high school, it's the 8th inning when I showed up to a baseball game and there's only 9 innings. I missed the whole thing. Or, sorry, son, I'll be there next time, my work meeting. Like, that's what I am working to help dad solve, because if their family goes on the calendar first and you truly control your schedule, if you have a commitment with your kids, whether it's a sporting event, a school activity, doctor's appointment, you block that out on your calendar first. Now there's no conflict with a work appointment. I got to take this call. I got this sales. I got this activity. And my thing is that you put your family on the calendar first, you're going to show up at a better way. And when things are going well at home, your capacity to perform well in the business increases. Yeah. When things are not going well at home, it's very challenging to perform well in the business. So if you can show up at home first, you'll be better for everyone. And so one thing that I really challenge entrepreneurs to do is put your family on the calendar first and don't bump them off. A lot of times, if we're not really careful, we'll put them on the calendar and then we'll bump it off because, oh, I got this important meeting or whatever. But if you need to be make an adjustment to your schedule, make an adjustment, but put these rules in place that you're not allowed to bump your family off the calendar for something else. If you move it, you must replace it at an equal time or a better time. And that's what I recommend the most. Start working your family into the calendar and then make sure that you commit, you keep that commitment to your calendar, to your family, and then everything else can kind of fall in place after that.
Yeah, I think that is an interesting thing. That is such a key recommendation, which I've heard before, because men in general need more reminders. We work better with calendars. We work better with structure. Women can often multitask and do a lot of the stuff at the same time. But for whatever reason, we kind of need to block off these things and be reminded to sometimes even do simple things like reminder, check in with son on homework, or reminder, read a story to the daughter or whatever. And it's important. I'm interested in the way you set up you've got a 5-day challenge to be, how do you call it? To be a more present dad or to be
present, not perfect.
Yeah. Present to be a more present dad. And in the 5 days, you really weave in to almost all the days, the aspect of the entrepreneurial. It's not like you go from one day is being a great, better dad, and then the second one is how to be the entrepreneur. You've woven them in together on each day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with the challenge, it's kind of a progression. For us to start a business, we had to have a plan, like, what are we good at? What problems can we solve? Who can we serve? What capacity do we serve them in? So there's a plan there. So there's also a plan to be an intentional present father, to show up. We have to prepare. Whether it's preparing the calendar, whether it's preparing our mind to not be a yes man and say no more frequently so we can actually have the minutes, the hours in the day to be in the home with our family or whatever it might be. So there's some preparation to do. And then you kind of build off of that as you prepare and as you start to get things in place. I kind of build off of it. And each day of the challenge, there's more of the framework. If you look at my hat, you can kind of see some steps marks right here. But here is kind of the ascension.
Oh, the step marks, yeah.
Yeah, different. Okay, here's the prepare and here's the 5 P's for a present parent. And so I'll save the names of the present parents for when you join the challenge, but just think about a progression. We can't do everything at once. And if we're not where we want to be as an intentional present father, then we can expect to be not present today and present tomorrow. So there's some things that we need to do to work up to being to a point where our children are bragging about us. In my mind, there's two ways that your children can describe you on the playground. And I like to use elementary school kids because I have 5 of them. Well, 4. I got this school year. It starts in 2 weeks. I'm going to have kindergarten. I'm going to own this elementary school with a kindergartner, second grader, a third grader, and then a 6th grader. So I like to describe, there's 2 ways that your children are talking about you at school on the playground, either a cool dad or a no-show dad. And what I mean by a no-show dad is they're telling their friends, oh, I wish my dad was like yours, that was at my games. I wish dad would come to the Father's Day at school. I wish he would be present for our school play. I wish he would take me out to the ballpark with my friends. Those kind of things, like, he's either going to wish that you were there and he's going to call you a no-show dad. Either you're working too much. He can't ever talk to you because you're always on the phone. He doesn't know if you're angry or if he can approach you. Or a cool dad. You may be cool or not cool, but your kid will still classify you as a cool dad if you're available, if you know their friend, if you're doing activities with them, if you're having conversation, if you're being present. And so that's the way I like to gauge myself. Am I currently a cool dad or a no-show dad? Are my kids on the playground saying, I wish my dad would be here. I wish my dad wouldn't work so much. I wish dad would go to the swimming with me. Or are they bragging about you? Oh, my dad's so cool. He took me to ice cream last week. We did this activity. He's never missed a baseball game. And that's a pretty good scale to be on, because oftentimes, if we are no-show, we could change the way our children speak about us by just showing up at a very high level one time. It can't be the only time, but it can be the transition from, can I depend on dad to be there when I need him? Whether it's to cheer me on at sports, whether it's to give me a hug when I've been bullied at school, whatever it might be, sometimes these men feel like they've got to work. They can't be emotional. They can't connect with their kids, but to be a present really is life-changing.
Yeah.
And I want to share some stories about, so my five kids are all adopted. They're currently 5, 6, 7, 8, and 11. So my 7-year-old wrote a book. He's 11. When he was 7, he wrote a children's book about feelings. And he sold it a little bit here and there. But yesterday, I had a meeting after church. And so my wife and I drove 2 cars. She took the kids home and I was there for my meeting. So in that 45 minutes, hour later, after my kids got home from church, I walk in and my little ones are sitting on the coffee table drawing pictures. And they're talking about, oh, we got to cut this out. They were making little flyers that they wanted to go put on people's doors. They grabbed a collection of their books, their old books. We have thousands of books, kids' books that they read. And they got a little bucket and put some books in it and said, Dad, we're going to sell books. And I said, absolutely, let's go sell books. And so at first I didn't have too much hope for it because they were like beginner reader books that are like 4 words per page and they had a little bucket of it. And they said $1. And then my 5-year-old, he's the one that made the first sale. He went to the next door neighbor and said, we're selling books. You want one? And they took a book out of the box that they had and gave him $1. And he comes running back in the house. I was still changing, so I didn't even know he made a sale. And he said, I got a dollar. And then that dollar turned in to grabbing a collection of the books that my 7-year-old wrote, some of the journal, parent-child journals that my wife and I wrote. And we went out just walking around the neighborhood. They were on their bikes. And my kids, in less than an hour, made $50 yesterday selling books. And so that was one thing that I could have turned down by not being present, but I promoted their goals. And that's one example. They're still talking about it. They were so excited. But another one is my oldest son, he was abandoned at Walmart. And that's how he came into foster care. He was 7 months old. At that time, that's when we came into our home. But he still remembers that. And he, for the first little while, he's improved on it now. But he really had been, a lot of adults fail him. So he really felt like he had to go overboard to really show up for the parents because he was afraid that they were going to fail him. So early on, he's a very good athlete. He's fast. He's a good football player. But early on, when he had some coaches that would be harsh or were really aggressive towards him, he would shut down because he felt like he failed the coach. And there were a couple times I was like, you can watch his performance go from good to poor by the way that you talk to him. I said, talk to him in this way, in this capacity, and you'll see him benefit. And so there were times that he felt he was letting the coach down by dropping a pass or something, and then he couldn't catch another pass. And the next game, just last season, he had 5 touchdowns in 1 game, a couple offense and 2 interceptions that he took back for touchdowns. But it was all because his coach said, Kyle, we need you you're fast. This is the game plan. It was real positive. And then the next week he did nothing because he was down on himself. He didn't have a good week of practice because he was sick and he hurt his foot. And so he didn't have a good week of practice. And so the next week in the game, he dropped several passes and he did nothing that game. And he's like, I'm not a good football player. I'm not this, I'm not that. But I was able to tell him, look, that was, you just dropped it once. You haven't let your coach down. Look what you did last week. So you can see there's a huge difference between when our kids feel like they have the support that they need and when they don't. A lot of times when our kids are young or even they're teenagers, they just want to be on their phone and text and not really engage with their parents. A lot of times us as a dad, we may see the dip in performance, but have no idea why, whether it's school, whether it's the way they carry themselves in the home, whether it's the conversation they have, you might see that dip in performance and not understand that they feel lonely or they feel alone or they feel like the burden of life is weighing on them. And so kind of I shared those two stories to show an impact that when you're there, when you're present, when your children feel that they can rely on you, the performance is going to be multiple touchdowns. It's going to be selling those books. Whatever it is that your kids love, as an entrepreneur, we miss a lot of those things because we're so focused on the business. We're so focused on the next thing, the next things. But if we will slow down as a father and really get an understanding of what our kids need and what they want, it's huge.
Yeah. I think in those 5 days, you talk about some real practical things, but then also just conceptually being present, which is, that word is freighted with so much. But you say dads be present, not perfect. Talk a little bit about that, what the difference is, because I think what you're saying is that the ideal is if you're with them all the time and you're really focused on them. Obviously, we can't all give 100% of the time, but just showing up is one stage, and then showing up maybe more than physically is the next, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so when I say present, not perfect, it's really that simple. Be there. Your kids don't expect you to be the world's greatest dad, but you will quickly become the world's greatest dad when you're there. when mom says it's bedtime and you said, okay, we're going to read for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or you make a promise to them early Saturday morning, you do your jobs, you do whatever you're supposed to do, we'll go for ice cream and dinner. And if you do it, world's greatest dad. If you don't do it, no show dad. Like, it can flip that quickly for young children or teenagers that really feel like they need you. So when I say present, not perfect, you can't make an impact if you're not there. Nobody needs you to be perfect, because I don't care whether you're a Christian, you believe in God, whatever, higher power, whatever. Like, I don't care if that, but I'm going to say it anyways because I'm a Christian, but Christ is the only one who's perfect. And us as individuals, we are not perfect. We don't need to be perfect. We can make a perfect attempt at improvement, like where we're here, and then we can try to get better next time. But nobody expects us to be perfect. We all make mistakes, especially if we're learning a new task. If we have not been the father that we desire to be, and now we're learning to be present, we're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But just because we make mistakes doesn't mean we should vanish and disappear and not show up and not be available. And so nobody expects us to be present. I mean, perfect. And I slip that up, but sometimes we have an expectation on ourselves that is so intense that we fall short of our own standards, but even though we're showing up at a very high level for our spouse or for our children. So when I say present, not perfect, be there, connect, be intentional. Don't let your TV raise your children. Don't let Candy Crush on the cell phone games raise your children. Yeah. When you're home, be home. Wear one hat at a time. Most every time, except for if I'm wearing my church clothes, you'll probably see me wearing a hat. Sometimes it's a data center's hat. Sometimes it's a marriage hat. Sometimes it's a sport hat. But you always see me wear a hat. One, because I'm bald. But two, because a hat for me specifies something special. Very important. Most people don't wear more than one physical hat at a time. And so for me, wearing my hat symbolizes that I need to wear one hat at a time. I need to be present where my feet currently are. If my feet are currently in my home, then that's what needs my attention. If my feet are currently in my office, whether that's your own bedroom or workspace, then be 100% in work. If your feet are currently at the ballpark, then be the best cheerleader or coach that you can be. If your feet are currently in the doctor's office, then advocate for your children. Get as much information as you can. But for me, wearing a hat is more than just an article of clothing. It's a representation that I need to be present where my feet currently are. I don't need to worry about this, that, or the other, because it is possible to have balance. Most people think, oh, balance isn't a thing that you can have, but it absolutely is. Maybe not static balance where it's one-to-one, everything's equal, but dynamic balance where there's movement, where there's progress. And so for me, I take the approach that when it's time to work, I give my best effort to work. When it's time to be dad and really intentional for my kids, I'm there. I'm available. Yeah. I'm not worried about other things. And if you wear a hat for a short period of time, I work for an hour and then I'm dad for 30 minutes and then I go back to work for an hour because I have a podcast or a call, then do that. Don't skip the dad part because it's only for 30 minutes and just work. Wear one hat at a time. Be the very best that you can be wearing that hat.
Well, with five kids, you must be an expert at being able
whether
to
it's the cook,
take those hats off.
The laundry, whether it's the yard keeper, whether it's the business owner, whether it's the cheerleader, whatever it is, wear one hat at a time. And when you start to do that, one, the strain, the burden of life isn't so heavy because multiple hats, especially like a hard hat, that gets heavy to bear at times. But if we focus on one thing at a time, we can be the best for a period of time.
Yeah.
I may not be the best always, but I certainly can give my best for a short period of time. And that is what our kids, they need our attention. They need us to be present. They don't need us to work all the time. We don't have to have perfect attendance. I know that's an award sometimes they give out in elementary school. You don't miss a day of school. But there's going to be times where circumstances in life determine that we have to work. But if we're an entrepreneur and we have a big launch or a training or an event or something, then we can communicate with our family and our calendar. Okay, that's not going to be very much available for the next 2 weeks. But as soon as I get past this moment, I got this vacation blocked out. I'm working all this week. We're going swimming at the water park all day Saturday. Like, when that's the level of communication and our children and our spouse know when to expect our availability and know when we're unavailable because we're working or whatever, kids appreciate that.
Yeah.
If it's all work and no play or no showing up, like, kids are aware of that. And balance can be achieved. Maybe it's 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 hours in the business and 1 hour in the family. But I guarantee for you men who are married, go ask your wife, do you want 30 minutes or an hour of my undivided attention where I'm giving you the intention? I'm very focused on you. I don't have any other distractions. Or do you want 4 hours of me being in the home, being in separate rooms, potentially on my phone? I can confidently say most every woman would say, I want a shorter amount of time that's more focused. And that's where we miss the boat, is a lot of times we do so much work and we're not productive. We work for 4 hours and we haven't accomplished much. But if we were to wear one hat at a time, we could accomplish the same amount of work in 1 hour. And now we got more time for self-care or for family care. And so that's what I talk about when I'm talking about present, not perfect. Control your schedule. Control the things that you can control. There's no need to worry about things that are outside of our control. I can always control where my feet are. At that moment, I can control my attitude. I can control my effort and I can control the things that I focus on. And so that's, for me, present, not perfect.
Yeah.
Doing what you can and what you can control with intention.
And I think it's really important that dads out there realize that it's never too late to adopt that type of attitude. And I love what you said about at the beginning about starting this practice. And at first, maybe it is you are just showing up, you're trying to put down the phone, not answering the calls, not focusing, you know, partially on work, but you are showing up and being totally present. And maybe at first that if you haven't been a present dad, that may seem like, oh, boring, you know, hard to focus since you've got these other things. But what happens over time is the more you are there, the more you get to know your kids, the more you are integrated into their hopes and dreams and their needs and wants. And it becomes a lot more intentional, a lot more easily intentional, a lot more simple to do.
Yeah. This is going to be quite emotional for me and a little bit intense, but bear with me for just a sec. So imagine this. As a father, you have however many kids you have. For me, I'm going to say 5. So let's say my oldest is 11, and that is true. Let's say now that he's getting into 6th grade, he's getting into a point where the things his peers do and say mean more to him. Potential risk for bullying is higher. Kids making fun of him. The weight of the expectations in the classroom might be getting heavy. Whatever it might be, and his confidence starts to fade. And he's a really good actor. And when he's home, he appears to be joyful, but you can tell he's dying inside. He's losing his confidence. What is the next step if that's the case? Depression, challenges, potentially suicide or self-injurious behavior, or just challenges specifically. But as a father, if we never notice the challenges that our kids are going through because we're just not there, that lack of self-esteem might turn into something that we can't. Whether we're present or not now, we can help our kids navigate whatever challenges they are. If we don't know about them, we can't help them. But right now, there's something we can do about it. But if something happens, our kids make a choice because they feel alone. They feel like they're not worthy. They're not good enough. We cannot undo that.
Yeah.
And that is a very real possibility because mental health in the youth is rising. Suicide rates are rising. Those things can be minimized or eliminated if you show up as a dad.
Yeah,
if you're not there, you'll have a lot of the outcome that I had as a foster parent. You'll have these kids that are in care that are becoming sexual active very little or getting involved in drugs, crime, stealing things because they're searching for an identity. They're searching for a place where they can be accepted. And they haven't found it in their home. They haven't found that from their dad. And that's a very real possibility. Drugs and alcohol are a huge thing. Peer pressure, pornography, all these different things are outlets that your children look for because they have a void that they're trying to fill. So that's what I am on a mission to do, to make sure that as many dads as possible, wherever they currently are, they're elevated. And so if any of you watch this on YouTube or whatever, and you can see the audio, above my head, you can see a sign that says Dad Ascenders. That is my goal. I want to ascend every dad that I can, take them from whatever level they currently are, whether that's present or not, and elevate them to a level higher so their kids have the things that they need. Obviously, our kids have choices, and it's not always going to work out well. They may still get involved in drugs and alcohol, but the chances are smaller if they're there for us, if we've continued. And as 10 years as a foster parent, cared for over 30 children, seeing lots and lots of children not have their father present or involved in things that you as a father would not want your children involved in, they have nowhere else to turn. And so there's a void, especially in a home where there's a single mom, where there's not a father figure present. Of the 30 children that I cared for, only 2 had a father present. And that is challenging. And so whether you are a biological father, an uncle, a grandpa, a friend, whatever, you have a role. If you show up in your home as a man, you can influence those around you, for good or bad. And I want you to be a part of the for good. And so I hope that wasn't too intense, but bring the light that...
No, I think it's really an important message. You and I share that same message because you know, it's easy to kind of to stumble through this period of life because there's so much going on. You're working. I mean, you've got five kids. That's a lot of stuff. Even if you're just doing the basics. And a lot of men, a lot of moms also, they don't realize the stakes here. They're willing to invest in, they're willing to spend a lot of money on cars and all kinds of other stuff. Or they're willing to invest time in understanding how to be better at their jobs. And certainly entrepreneurs, we get lots of opportunities to do that. But they don't think of what the stakes are, which you just really emotionally outline, is that if you aren't there, you know, if your kid gets into trouble and you can't get them back, you would pay anything, do anything to solve that problem. But it's, you know, maybe it's not too late, but it's a lot harder than if you do the kind of things that you're talking about and the two of us are promoting, being more present, being more intentional, being more in touch with your kids. So I really applaud that, Corey. It's a really important message.
Yeah. And one thing too about this message is, as you learn to become intentional and a present father, your capacity increases to have an impact in the business, in your home. It feels good to have your kids say, "Daddy, I love you." It feels even better when you're at a family gathering, church event, barbecue, holiday, whatever, and you hear your children say, "My dad's the best. I have the world's best dad." And they will say that when you show up.
Yeah.
They will also say that you're a no-show when you don't show up. Kids, especially young kids, do not have a filter. You might hear several times that your four-year-old asks a woman who might be pregnant, "Why's your belly so big?" or something like that. They'll say that, and that's real talk, but they will also say, "Mommy, how come daddy's not here? How come daddy doesn't care about me? How come daddy's gone at work and I'm in bed before I see him? How come daddy misses every game?" Or they'll say, "Dad is so great." And so for me, I had two periods in my life where I was not being present father that I needed to be. One was in grad school, then I was just keeping up and I was always in the library. I would find my wife asleep on the couch most nights when I got home from school. Instead of going to bed, she was just waiting for me, but she would fall asleep because I was coming home so late. And then another period, when I first started my business, I was taking calls at all the time. And that's why I could use the language of put the phones down. Don't answer calls during dinner. Don't do these things, because I did them. I was not proud of that. But now I'm very proud to be the dad that I am today. My kids, especially my 11-year-old, he tells the world that I'm the best dad. He thrives on being able to be with me, to whether I'm fixing something, whether I'm doing entrepreneur things. My 8-year-old has autism, and I've allowed him to help me in the business by doing Canva graphics and things like that. So frequently, he'll come in my room, even if it's the first thing in the morning, and say, "Daddy, can we work on your business?" And when he said, "Daddy, can we work on your business?" he means he wants me to open Canva and let him play on my computer.
Right.
But that's a small thing, but that only happened because I was intentional. One last story. I'm sure you're ready to wrap this up. But early in my business, I just about made a huge mistake. So about 4 years ago, my son, who has autism, is 4 years old, had a lot of speech delays, and his language wasn't very good at that time for a four-year-old. And one day I was working. Kids were home from school on summer break. My door was open. And the other kids were watching TV, and he came into my room and said, "Daddy, will you play box with me?" And he said it very clearly, more clear than most of his language had been. Mm. And I thought about it just a sec. Well, I just about said no. The words were already starting to come out of my mouth. "Not right now, buddy, I'm working." And I was able to close my mouth enough that those words did not come out to where he could hear it. And I said yes. So in my mind, I was going to give 5 or 10 minutes to him. That would satisfy his needs, and I'd be back to visit. We can all sacrifice 10 minutes when our kids have a need, whether we think so or not. And so the outcome was, I stopped for a period of time, And what I thought was going to be 5 or 10 minutes was 20 minutes of playing blocks. He was talking nonstop. We were having good conversation. And for weeks, at least 3 weeks straight, he was telling me, Daddy, oh, it was so awesome playing blocks. He was telling my wife about playing blocks. Yeah. He's telling the siblings about playing blocks. But for a 20-minute thing that I thought I was too busy for, and I probably wasn't even doing anything worthwhile. I was still learning and whatever. So saying no would have been a complete waste because that time that I spent with him was so valuable and I didn't really accomplish much before him. I accomplished much more what I wanted to do after that play day. But those small things make a difference. And 4 years later, I could talk to him and he still remembers. Daddy, you remember that time we played blocks?
Yeah.
It was so much fun and this and that. But those things make a difference. So don't allow yourself to pass up an opportunity to connect with your children. Even if it's for just a small moment, that is going to be more significant than later. Your kids hear later all the time. As an entrepreneur, you probably are in that pattern of not right now, later. And before we know, we're living a one-day lifestyle. One day when my business gets to this level. One day when the kids are older, then they'll understand that they can't disturb me and things like that. But one day never comes, or it comes faster than we want and that we wanted. And so when we say one day, I'll do this, I'll be present for my kids when this happens, that day never comes, or it comes so fast because we miss so many of the opportunities and we're past where we could have been if we would have just taken a moment. And so that is my challenge for you is, be present, not perfect. Intentional. Don't let the time at home pass by. Do it with intention. Have a conversation. If you don't know what to say, here's the easiest cop-out ever. Ask your kids what is hard for you, what is challenging, what is difficult. And they may or may not say anything, but when they do, now you know how to lighten their burden. You know how to serve. You know what their needs are. But they're going to tell you what is hard. What is challenging? What is uncomfortable? What is something they want to give up on because it's too hard? And so if you don't know what to say to your kids, ask them, what is hard for you? And say, I love you. What would you want to talk about? And just start a conversation. Get your kids talking. Because the more that they feel connected to you, the more they're going to come to you when they are in that circumstance, when their confidence are low, or when they potentially have a thought of injuring themselves, or when they're in trouble, they will come to you if you've taken the time to build that framework of trust and connection early. They will not come to you. They will not come to you, especially as a teenager. If you have not taken the time to build a connection, that they feel safe and available to talk to you. They will not come to you if you have not proven yourself that they can depend on you because you show up when you say you're going to show up.
Yeah. So I think that's a good challenge for everybody. Short-term challenges today is listen to your kids. And if they do want to do something with you, or you can promote doing something with them, take today, keep that in mind. Anybody listening to this podcast, whenever it is, use that as your trigger for today to take a few moments with them. I'd also really recommend people go to dadsunleashed.com/present. Even if you don't take Corey's really interesting 5-day challenge, even just going through that outline of those steps, I think is a really good step to understanding how you might, you might look at your priorities. So this has been a really interesting conversation, Corey. I really appreciate the time. I wish we had a little bit more time to talk about your foster child journey, 30 foster kids. People need foster kids, or kids need those foster parents in a really bad way. I think you and I talked a little bit about the Dads Be Present, Not Perfect, and it came out of understanding more of that world and the fact that you don't have to be perfect to become a foster parent. Like, you don't have to be perfect to be, be a better dad. And I really applaud that dedication to young kids. And you sound like a great dad.
Yeah, it's fun. It really is rewarding when you hear the kids saying, like, my kids often, not always, but a lot of times it comes to, go to friends or go do an activity with me. I'm going to win most of the time.
No, that's sweet.
And it's really awesome when it gets to the point where your kids are grabbing your legs, you're saying, "Daddy, I love you," nonstop, or they're telling their friend that I've got the best dad. If you see this in visual, I got a little plaque behind me that says, "Dad, dedicated, awesome dad." You don't, even if you don't know, feel like you know how to be the best dad, dedicate yourself to becoming the dad that your children desire by being present, not perfect, and you're halfway there.
That's good advice to end with. Okay, so Corey Rankin at dadsunleashed.com. You also have a Facebook group at Dad Elevation. Good place for resources as well. Corey, I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So again, Paul Bayes at greatdad.com. You can find my coaching services for fathers who are trying to find this life, work-life balance at greatdad.com/coaching. Okay, until next time, take care.